This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go!
Welcome to This Lady Loves Sports Podcast with Pat Prescott. Sports. She knows it all and is here to talk about it. So get ready to hear sports talk in a way that you've never heard before. It's This Lady Loves Sports Podcast. And here's your host, Pat Prescott.
This lady loves sports, and so does this guy who's sitting across the table from me. I'm Pat Prescott, joined by one of the most talented bassists on the planet, also just one of the most cool human beings I know, and that is Marcus Miller.
Pat Prescott, how are you?
Buddy from New York. How you doing?
That's right, from New York, from way back in New York.
Yeah, we go way back. You were just a little kid when I first met you.
You were working for a radio station called WRVR.
That's right.
You remember?
I certainly do. Whew. Those were the good old days, man. That station was something. We played everything from Stevie Wonder to Pat Metheny to John Coltrane and Lester Young.
That's
and,
right.
I mean, it was
That's
all
right.
in there. Phyllis Hyman.
That's right.
We just went all over the...
And you guys influenced us because, you know, we were young kids listening to the radio. So we figured that's what the world of music is. It's a whole picture.
It was pretty amazing. But it wasn't too long before we were playing your music with so many great artists, Luther Vandross and Miles Davis and just about everybody who matters to anybody. Marcus Miller has played with them. You know, everything from funk to classical. You got the whole thing happening, man.
Thank you.
But what you might not know about Marcus is that he is a huge sports fan also.
Oh, of course.
Yes, indeed.
Of course. Who's not a sports fan?
Now, growing up in New York, of course, you know, there are rules in fandom. You know, now that Marcus and I both relocated out to Los Angeles, we have gotten a chance to see how both sides live.
Yeah.
You know, I came out to L.A. kind of hating on the Lakers a little bit,
right.
You know, because I was a Knicks fan. But, you know, I found some similarities in the whole L.A. basketball world and the New York basketball world. But I know recent events have been really shocking in the world of basketball. Let's talk a little bit about that. Do you think that the Knicks will ever do anything ever again?
No, I don't.
I'm getting worried.
I don't. Let me tell you, I was a diehard Knicks fan. Let me just go back. 1969 into 1970. I was a little kid, but that was the year that the Jets with Joe Namath won the Super Bowl.
The Mets
with Tommy Agee, Cleon Jones, Tom Seaver.
Yep.
They won the World Series. And the Knicks won with Willis Reed and Walt Frazier.
That was the great Willis Reed coming back from out of the locker room.
Yes.
One of the most dramatic moments ever in sports.
So a lot of y'all are too young for that, but that locked me in. You know what I mean? And you had to choose in New York. They needed to know whether you were a Met fan or a Yankee fan, you know, because big cities with more than one team, you don't get to just root for your city. You have to choose sides. And I think that's what you're talking about with L.A., especially with basketball.
So those were your choices.
Well, started with the Mets, although in the late 70s, you had to give it up to Reggie Jackson and Thurman Munson and all those guys on the Yankees.
The Yankees just got too exciting, and they just kind of took over.
They took back over.
They took, right, because they had it at first.
They had it going on in the 60s and all that. But, yeah, man, so I've been a fan of New York sports. But do you remember that year where the Knicks were about two steps away from the finals?
1994 it was. Do I remember it?
You remember this? Yeah, are you still scarred?
I remember it? I'm still scarred. There's several things that have scarred me. Charles Smith can't make a layup, tallest person on the team. Patrick Ewing just couldn't get that shot off.
Yeah, that's the year that we moved to L.A. So I was kind of ripe to make a transition. After
that
series.
And that was a good time to make a transition.
After that situation, I was like, you know what? Let me see what's going on out here in L.A. because it was painful for everybody. The Knicks are not really taking advantage of that situation. Okay, so now I'm in L.A. and like you're saying, it's a good time to make a transition because all of a sudden, the Lakers are coming into their own. And, you know, my wife and I, we got two boys, two girls, but one of the boys, Julian, he got crazy about it. So, you know, we were doing that father and son yelling at the TV thing with Kobe and Shaq. And it was a whole nother chapter in my life. So I became a huge Laker fan, you know. Now, if the Knicks happened to get it together, I would easily switch back.
And that's the thing that I find so interesting about Knicks fans, that we are like, we're just waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
If Spike and Stephen A. don't have a coronary first, because I feel bad for them. I feel bad. I felt so bad for Spike, let me tell you, when they found out that Kevin Durant wasn't going to New York.
Oh, man.
Oh, poor thing.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. It's been a long time. You know what I mean? And it seems like, you know, for it to be such a huge market, it's really, it's not just bad for New Yorkers, but for the whole league, you know, not to have a contender.
It's getting a little interesting now because I think they might have a contender in New York with those Brooklyn Nets.
Yep.
And here's the thing that I think people in L.A. can relate to just as people out on the East Coast. And that is that if you're a Laker fan or you're a Knicks fan, there is no way that you're cheering for the Nets or the Clippers.
It's just going to take a lot. You know what I mean? Like, you and I both know Alonzo Bowden, the comedian.
Yes.
You know? And Alonzo is one of those diehard Clipper fans. You know what I mean? From way back. And
he switched over to the Clippers because there were available tickets and they were way cheap.
Because he could get tickets for a good price. That's a good reason. Anyway, my problem with the Clippers is they've had so much talent.
They really have had a bunch of talent.
I'm talking about Elton Brand. I'm talking about going back there. You know what I mean? And it just doesn't seem to matter. It just, for some reason, you know, for a
Blake
while it
Griffin,
was.
Yeah, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul.
Oh, forget
they
it.
They stole Chris Paul from the Lakers.
Yeah, forget it. For a while, we would blame the owner. You know what I mean? He doesn't want to make the financial investment in the team. But there's something about them, man, that I just haven't seen it. So,
well, they're about to move to their own building, which we have seen, and it is fantastic.
Did you see it?
They're showing some pictures now of what it's going to look like.
Okay.
It looks pretty amazing.
I'm sitting on the sidelines.
They certainly have an owner that loves them. And they also, oh, by the way, did I mention have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George?
Who's my favorite player? Kawhi.
Yeah, you got to love Kawhi.
You got to love Kawhi. But man, can he overcome that Clipper jinx?
We'll see.
What do you think, Pat?
We shall see. I tell you what, I think that basketball in L.A. is going to be more interesting than ever. Because wherever you live, you know, without having to pay anything extra, you get to see your home teams all the time.
Yes.
And if one of your home teams is the Lakers with LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
And AD.
And they put together a nice little squad around those fellas, too. And then your other team is Kawhi Leonard with Paul George and those that great Clipper team we saw of no-name people. Last year.
Yeah, they were doing work.
They were doing work. And they got Jerry West. Did you mention that? That he's on that side of the street? And also Doc Rivers? I
want
to see him mess that up, really.
Hey,
I can't imagine it.
I could switch over temporarily.
You may be forced to at some point.
Because Jerry West is the man, you know, as a player and as a GM. You know, he's very talented, and he put together some incredible teams for Los Angeles.
Hey, he's put together some incredible teams. He put together that Memphis Grizzlies team.
Mm-hmm.
He had his hand in that whole Warriors thing.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that thinks the Warriors are just going to go away, it's funny to me how they think that how people want to write off the Warriors now because
they were the best team in basketball before KD.
Thank you.
Right?
And, you know, motivation does a lot of things in sports. You notice that you can get the best performance sometimes out of an underachieving team if they are just motivated properly.
Not even just underachieving. Like, Michael Jordan would look things to get pissed off about. You look for him. You know, what can I be angry about? Give me a newspaper. Let me see if somebody wrote something that can get me angry and get me motivated, you know?
That kind of helps.
Yeah.
Well, talking about basketball, before we switch over, because I want to talk about football a little bit, too, and I'd love to talk to you a little bit about some tennis as well. One of our dear friends who we missed dreadfully and who I know was somebody really special to you was also a great basketball player, and that, of course, is Wayman Tisdale.
Tis.
And I've always found it interesting, Marcus, how it looks like to me like musicians want to be athletes, athletes want to be musicians.
Well, look, if you come from around the way, there were only a few opportunities that you saw. I mean, there were plenty of opportunities, but the ones that were right in front of you were, you know, to be an athlete or to be a musician. You know what I mean? Nowadays, it's an athlete or a rapper.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? And this was the success, you're right, we were most exposed to.
That's what we were exposed to. So, you know, once, you know, you became a well-known musician or a well-known athlete, you still respected the other side. You know what I mean? So all the musicians, you know, they had their sport that they were into. And if somebody had said, hey, man, you know, you want to spend a day in the Knicks locker room, you'd be like, absolutely, you know. So Tiz, one day, I got a call from Wayman Tisdale's manager. Mm-hmm. He said, do you know who Wayman Tisdale is? I said, yeah, man, Oklahoma, you know, All-American, blah, blah, blah. And he says, well, he's a huge fan of yours, and he would like to meet you. So when he was on the Pacers, the Indiana Pacers at the time, he said, when the Pacers come to town, he's going to look you up. I said, absolutely, man. So he says, okay, so I was in the studio working on a Roberta Flack record, and the manager calls and the agent calls and says, hey, Wayman's coming down to visit you. And then he started to describe Wayman so that I'd recognize him. I said, dude, you don't need to describe Wayman Tisdale. I'll just look for the dude who's ducking to get under the door. You know what I mean? Anyway, he came in, and, you know, he was like a huge fan of music, you know, like a huge fan of the bass, which was my instrument, you know. And so we just became best friends right away. And the problem was all he wanted to talk about was music, and I had no interest in talking about music with him because all I wanted to talk about was basketball. What's it like to be in the NBA, man? What's Michael Jordan like? You know, how do you guard Charles Oakley? You know, I wanted to know that stuff. So we would just take turns just, you know, firing questions at each other. And the thing I really liked about him was that he had the most incredible spirit, you know. He had a spirit. Wayman Tisdale had a spirit that made me think that he'd never really be fit to be a professional athlete. Shaq, too. Too nice. You know what I mean? Like, you know what? I know athletes, you know, I know they're like type A killer personalities, you know, they put their foot on your neck and they keep it there. You know, that's just
Kobe, Michael.
Kobe, yeah. You know those guys, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so for Shaq, you know, who's just the nicest guy, you know what I mean? Or Tisdale, like how are they doing it? But they were so talented that they didn't have to change their personality to be successful in the league. And that was really impressive. Wayman's just He was just a beautiful guy, man, and, you know, it was really cool.
And he was legit multi-talented because he developed a style on his bass. I mean, he played the bass like a guitar. Mm-hmm. And when he told us that, you know, he was not really trained, that he just picked it up and learned it himself, left-handed, mm-hmm. and all of that, that makes it even more remarkable because that's nothing but a gift from God right there.
Yeah, he told me, you know, I play a little bass. That's what he said. You know what I mean? And so first few years of our relationship, it was cool, you know, because everybody plays a little something. You know what I mean? And then he says to me one day, hey, man, can you put an extra bass on my album? I'm going, what album? Were you making an album? He said, yeah, man. I decided I want to make an album. This was towards the end of his basketball career. So he sent me the tapes. I'm saying, is this you playing the bass? I said, man, you didn't tell me you could play like this. So he said, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, his father was a really famous minister in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, you know, he was playing in the church band. You know what I mean? In Tulsa, it was difficult to find an instrument that was made specifically for a left-hander. So he...
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Just took a right-handed bass and turned it upside down and was playing it backwards. He didn't know any better, you know. And he's just a natural, soulful guy. He got that Oklahoma swing, you know, that Gap Band feeling to his music, you know. And I keep slipping into present tense when I talk about him, man, because I miss him so bad. But he was just, and then he'd keep asking me, man, what do I need to do? What's the secret? And I said, wait, you serious about being a bass player, you know? He says, yeah, man. I said, well, all you got to do is figure out how to get that personality of yours to come through your bass. If you can do that, I guarantee you, you're going to be a success. Don't worry about trying to be deep and, you know, like a Stanley Clark or somebody like that. Just be you. And that's what he did, man. And I'll never forget, right after 9/11, they had a big concert here in L.A. I think it was at the Forum.
That was the Waves concert.
That was you guys' concert.
The Wave of Peace.
Wave of Peace. And I'll never forget, man, Wayman, he played an Earth, Wind, and Fire song called Can't Hide Love. Mm-hmm. And he had that whole place just vibing together, man. And I said, man, he did it. Then I went to the gym and started working on my crossover. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Good luck with that, brother. Good luck with that. Though I have seen you play a little bit of basketball. I know you all play sometimes on the cruise. I'll never forget Reggie, my boyfriend, always reminds me of how he says Marcus is one of the few people who was there the day that the ship was rocking back and forth.
Man,
nobody could even find the
I don't
the basket.
Understand how Reggie, your boyfriend, hit these shots, Pat. Okay. Think about it. We're on the smooth jazz cruise, and the basketball court is at the very top of the ship. Okay, so the wind is blowing crazy. You know,
it's shaky up there at best. Yes. When it's calm, that's where you're going to find some breezes. Up
exactly,
there.
Exactly. And Reggie is just hitting these shots, and I'm going, How are you doing this? Like he was shooting it like 12 feet to the left, and then the wind would blow it into the basket.
Because he calculated.
Yeah.
He's a mathematician.
Okay.
He was calculating.
So he put his finger, he wet his finger and held it up to see which way the wind was blowing.
Randy said as long as he doesn't have to run, he's good.
Pat, he wasn't doing a whole lot of running.
He said, if I can stand in one shot and in one place.
He was standing there in one place, clapping his hand, pass me the ball.
But he always tells me, ask Marcus. Marcus was there.
I was there, I have to admit.
But that's fun, but people get hurt up there, man. Y'all got to stop playing the basketball.
No more full out games because a couple of people actually got injured.
Yeah, remember Markquel got really hurt.
ACL,
I mean, it was because this is the thing. You guys are too old for this now.
No, we ain't.
And you got real jobs where you have to play music.
That's
a little
the problem.
Bit later
you know what I mean?
That.
Like they every basketball coach will tell you when you're playing defense, don't reach. You know, don't stick your hands out there and reach. They don't have to tell us that because we're not sticking our hands nowhere.
I hear what I mean?
Because it's too dangerous. You know.
All right, so let's talk about football now. Who's your football team?
Rams. Hey,
they look good to me.
They look real good.
Now, I'm a Giants fan.
Yes.
Let us pray.
Yes. See?
The Giants are starting to look like the Knicks a little bit to me.
So what's going on? What do you think is going on?
I don't know what's going on. It must be something in the water in New York that's ruining things for people. I like the way the Yankees look.
Yes.
Right
Yankees,
now. I liked the way the Mets looked at the beginning of the season.
Yes. Well, you know what? The problem is... And it's the same thing with Kawhi. You know, I was talking about the Clippers and their history. And these new players, they don't care about the history. They say, well, don't talk to me about Elton Brand. You know what I mean?
Elton Brand is history now. Ooh.
It is, right?
We're in trouble.
I know. Don't talk to me. You know what? This is a new day. I'm here to do my thing. I'm not going to let any, history affect me. And I think all these athletes, you have to have that mentality.
Yeah.
You can't walk in there talking about, well, I wonder if I can overcome this.
Yeah.
All you got to overcome is the guy in front of you.
Yeah,
you
know? But I do think that you need to be aware of that history. That's where the pride in playing comes from. That's the greatest lessons you learn. You know, you look at people like LeBron and Kawhi, who will sit at the feet of some of these older guys and really talk to them. They know who they are. They know. And you can see it. Everything now is on YouTube. It's just go on there and you can see people who are your coach now that day. Yeah, he really did have a nasty crossover.
Yeah. Before it was just talk. You know what I mean? And you're like, okay, whatever, you know.
Now there's real proof to it too.
Yeah.
But I guess like in sports, just like in music and any other field, you know, you gotta make room for the new folks.
Yeah, you have to realize that, you know, time moves on.
Yeah, as Charles Barkley famously said, you know, Father Time is undefeated.
Undefeated.
It happens all the time.
Never lost. But, you know, I think that the other thing to consider that the athletes do have to take into consideration is the pressure from playing in a town like New York.
Yes.
You know, which is ruthless.
Or Los Angeles.
I mean? Or LA. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's a whole different thing. If you play in a smaller town, there's so much love and appreciation for the team.
Whether you're good or not.
Whether you're good or not. You know what I mean? That you can, it's a different kind of existence. But if you play in New York, you know, on Tuesday they love you. On Wednesday, you know, the headline of the New York Post is that you're a bum. You know what I mean? So it's like it's a whole different existence. You know?
Yeah. It is very good for you to be grounded. Yes. You know, to know who you are and to have great self-esteem. And I think also to have a little bit of a life. I mean, mm-hmm. to not let, as much as it's important that you give your all to what it is that you're doing, mm-hmm. I think that you need to also give something to yourself in terms of having a balanced life.
Well, if you can have, and this is not just in sports, if you can have some support, you know, some people who love you, whether you got a ball in your hand.
As they say, irregardless.
Yeah, irregardless, exactly. If you can have, if you're going to have people who love you and support you, that's really important. Otherwise, you go home to nothingness, and then you live for what you get out in the public. And that's yeah. not just sports. I know entertainers, man, who if they didn't win the Grammy, there was nothing else that they had. You know, like Grammy night, and they came home, and they didn't win, and they don't have any family or anybody who loves them, like really, you know, unconditionally loves them. And it's just devastating because there's nothing to balance you out. So I think,
and they don't even realize they're in the top five. I mean, yeah. it's only four other people that were nominated
think
in there
it.
With you out of all the artists.
Think
that
about it,
when people say it is an honor to be nominated, it really kind of is.
Yeah, and yeah. you got to remember all the people who you admire who never won a Grammy or didn't win it till like way, way at the back of their career, mm-hmm. you know?
Or never won a championship, you know, your
yeah.
Charles Barkley's and
yeah.
Patrick Ewing's and all of these great, great players, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much of it is not in your control.
It really isn't. That's the way life is. Mm-hmm. But I did want to talk the last thing, and it kind of connects too with what we're talking about Father Time being undefeated, and mm-hmm. that we have some greats in every sport. And I'm thinking right now about tennis, about Serena Williams, mm-hmm. and about Roger Federer, mm-hmm. both the same age, mm-hmm. both going for records to break.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if neither one of them did another thing in their life,
yeah.
as far as I'm concerned, you know, I think they both could be considered the GOAT.
Still on Mount Rushmore, absolutely. You know,
but it mm-hmm. is fascinating watching Serena go for this 24 and not being able to make it. Because mm-hmm. here's the thing. This is what I see, Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are like, oh, she can't win. But she's making it to every final.
Right, right.
Do you know how hard it is
right. how many
to
people
make
are
it
behind
to the
her?
Final
yeah, exactly.
of a major I mean, just to get there. And it seems like it's something psychological. It kind of seems yeah. like it's in her head.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, her mind has always been a really potent tool for her, you know, because when she was sharp, you know, she was a fighter and a battler. I mean, physically, she's just incredible. But her mind was always the difference, in my opinion, you know.
Yeah, I think that was why she ended up being better than Venus. I think that she's got the mentality,
mental
that
thing.
Killer instinct that you were talking about before that mm-hmm. Kobe and Michael and those guys had.
Mm-hmm. Did you see, I just saw a special on the plane coming back from Europe, and it was the Federer-Nadal match, okay? And they broke it down, man.
It was unbelievable.
If you have a minute to see this documentary, check it out, because just to see the mental thing, you know, and it's a whole nother level, tennis, you know, because if I'm playing with my band and I'm having an off night, I can throw it over to the drums, say drum solo or, you know, guitar solo or something. You know what I mean? If you're a boxer, it's just you. You know, you hit the guy with your best shot and he doesn't move. There's nobody to pass the ball to. OK, nobody to hand off to. But you still get to talk to your trainer in between
exactly.
rounds.
Exactly.
In tennis, you don't even get to talk
it's
to your trainer.
It's just you.
It's just you.
And if you try to, you could get in the have a whole yeah. lot of problems. Even if you don't try to, if they think
yeah.
you're trained,
yeah. If he's scratching his right face, right side of his face, you know, is that a signal?
Yeah,
you know,
we saw what happened to Serena in
exactly.
the U.S. Open last year.
Exactly.
But I tell you, I just have so much respect for them because they are playing now for history, even though they've already
yes.
made it.
Yes. And the hardest part for an athlete, I mean, for a musician, we got Herbie Hancock, Wayne Shorter, you know, 70, 80 years old, okay, continuing because there's no time, there's no shelf life on that kind of talent. But as an athlete, man, you know, we remember Jim Brown, who just said, yeah, I'm done at the height. I mean, no one, he was still unstoppable when he mm-hmm. just decided.
Barry Sanders, too.
Yeah, Barry
know,
Sanders.
Another
yeah.
example. Of
that's
that.
Right, Barry Sanders. But that's almost impossible. Those are the only two people I can think of. You know, everybody else stays just a little longer than maybe you would want to see him. You know, mm-hmm. I remember when I was a kid, Willie Mays came to the Mets.
I remember that, too.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even young enough to know how difficult it was. I was just so happy to see him, because he'd been on San Francisco Giants for many years at that point. I was just so happy to see him. But what older people said, man, it's just really depressing.
You become a shadow of yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
But, difficult. You know, you have to know when to leave the party. You know, you got to know that other people are coming on. And looking at tennis, I don't know if you got a chance to see Coco Gauff at Wimbledon with her fabulous 15-year-old self. Centered, and what an incredible young lady. I think that the future of tennis is in good hands. And not just her. There were a bunch of little young girls coming out from America now who I think are great players.
It gave you a sense that, yes, the page is turning. Absolutely.
But that was magical, watching that run. I can't wait to see what's going to happen in the future there.
And it's going to be all mental.
Makes life interesting.
It's going to be all mental. Like, can you handle it? Can you handle all those cameras? And can you keep yourself grounded? You know, I really believe that that's the one of the most important ingredients.
Yeah, well, you check out her mom and dad, and I think they're doing a fantastic job with her. But I knew you would be fun to have on my podcast because we've had some great conversations in the past about this.
Okay, so which group are you going to, which team, Clippers or Lakers this year? Who are you going to start with?
I'm with the Lakers.
You're going to be with the Lakers.
I'm with the Lakers.
All right.
I love LeBron James. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to be able to cheer for him now.
Think about, you know what I was thinking about the other day in Cleveland when LeBron was on the Cavaliers. Every time there was a home game, that whole area surrounding the arena was buzzing. All the store owners, the shop owners, the restaurant owners, they were just doing crazy business. If you looked up in the upper rafters, there were television cameras from all around the world because it was LeBron James. The guy meant so much to the city of Cleveland, you know.
But I tell you, this is when I really fell in love with him, when he went back home and he actually brought them a championship.
Sure
that is not, that's like Serena going to the finals every time.
Yeah.
That is not an easy thing to do, what this man has done.
And he almost beat the Warriors on his own a couple of years ago. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because
you're right.
He was fighting, you know, just by himself. You know, he almost made it happen. So he's a truly gifted individual.
Yeah, he's a truly gifted individual and somebody who's really got a big heart and who cares about other people and who cares about the legacy of his sport and everything. Kind of reminds me a little bit of you, Marcus, because you got all that going on, too, in your world.
Hey, man, you know what? His stage is a lot bigger. You know what I mean? And that's a lot of weight. You know, it's a lot of weight to carry. But he's doing a fantastic job. You know, people gave him so much flack for saying, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. You know, I'm going, man, have you seen everything else he's doing?
Thank you.
He's doing stuff that you don't even know he's doing.
Thank you. And he continued to do so much in that Cleveland community, even when he wasn't there.
Exactly.
But what he did by going home, I'm telling you, that was when, to me, I felt he hung the moon. The guy's something. I'm sticking with LeBron.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
Come on, AD. We just need you to help out. Come on, man.
We'll have to talk about this some more after the season is over.
We'll do a recap.
It's always a delight to speak to world-class bassist Marcus Miller.
All right.
Thanks so much for being here, Marcus.
Thanks, Pat.
I'm Pat Prescott. This lady loves sports.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.